Our exhortation this morning will be delivered by Brother Bill. And his remarks in relation to Psalms chapter 2, which we'd have you turn up, is the truth in Psalms, the truth in David. So let's read together Psalm chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Lest we break their bands asunder, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." Let's give our undivided attention to Brother Bill. The truth in Psalms, the truth in David.
Good morning, brothers, sisters, and friends. Our memory verse and several of our memory verses have come from the Psalms, and as an ecclesia, we have looked and studied at David's words in the Psalms, and we see that the Psalms represent many things. They represent words of praise, they words of comfort, words of acceptance of David's failings and conditions, words of hope for things to come upon the earth. In this psalm that we have just read, we see various small aspects of the truth breaking forth in front of us. And we will go through some of the Psalms. The Psalms in and of themselves, many of them are David's own thoughts and words. And we see, or will see, that the truth is depicted in just this one section of the Scripture. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Thus wrote the psalmist in Psalm 14:1. And we know David was no fool. David was a man of truth. Paul, preaching at Antioch in the synagogue, recounting the events of Israel unto Christ, says this in Acts 13:22. "And when he had removed him," that is Saul, "he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." How much more precious a description for a man or a woman than to be after God's own heart. He was described so not because he was perfect, and we know he wasn't, but because he was a man of God. A man who submitted his will to Yahweh. A man who was not afraid to repent, to acknowledge his failings, and strive to right them. A man of constant prayer and hope and praise. A man who understood the truth. Early on in his life, we see this said, "The Lord is with him." The words to Goliath and Saul, "The Lord will deliver." So we will look at a few of the core beliefs of the truth that David wrote about in his psalm. And we will be doing a lot of reading today, because I think in this case the scripture covers more of what I could ever really say. So let's start at our memory verse. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 8. And pretty much all of our reading today will be coming from the psalm. We see the first and foremost truth, part of the truth, that God is the creator and above all. Let's read Psalm 8. O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him, or for a time was made, a little lower than the angels, and hath crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Here David acknowledges the supremacy of Yahweh. Going back to the very beginning of Scripture, in which the earth was formed and created by the hand of God, and that man was given dominion over all that he created. But we will see that changed in the next section that we look at. In Psalm 50, we have more thoughts from David. Starting at verse 1, "The mighty God, even the Lord, or even Yahweh, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun into the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be tempestuous, very tempestuous, round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, and God, for God is judge himself." Here we have an aspect of the truth, being God creator above all, that mere man can become coveted or attached to God and become saints or separated ones. Psalm 90. In verse 2. "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." David here once again acknowledges that God is far above all upon this earth and is deserving of all our worship. Psalm 95, first 7 verses. "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." And you think about this, many of these psalms were actually set to music, as we have seen. And our brother Danny some time ago gave a talk on how these break down and so forth musically. And we can see David as he is writing these or singing these in praise. And we should, of course, when we sing our hymns, we should treat them just as such, that these are true words coming from the Scripture, that we are singing a note of joy to Yahweh. Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are His people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice. Psalm 104. Starting at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds of His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever. In verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are Thy works! In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. And Psalm 139. Verses 7 to 12. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto Thee. Nowhere can we flee from the presence of God, which in one sense may be kind of scary, that no matter what we do, no matter what we think, God knows our every thought and action. But also, looking at this in a positive light, David is basically saying, any of these places that I go, wherever I am, Thy hand shall lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. So let's not look at it as a scary thought, that we can't get away from God. It's a good thing we can't get away from God, because God is ever with us. Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the height. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His host. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heaven of heavens, and the waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. The second truth that we see in Scripture, after looking at Yahweh as the Creator and sustainer of all, is that in the opposite camp, man, on the other hand, is pictured as a sinner and destined to death unless a change comes. Let's go back to Psalm 6:5. There he tells us of a truth from the very beginning. For in death there is no remembrance of me. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? If we die outside of covenant relationship, there is no thought, there is no word, there is nothing except emptiness and death. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And pick up at 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. He contrasts the evildoers again with those of the meekness who have accepted, I think, the will of God, the covenant. The meek shall inherit the earth. Psalm 49. Starting at verse 9. That he should still live forever and not see corruption, for he seeth the wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their prosperity approved their sayings, Selah. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. Verse 17, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he liveth, he blesseth his soul. And men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. Because of the fall of Adam in the garden, all that was created, very good, was now condemned to a dying state. So in order to change that state, we have to have understanding and become embraced in honor. Or else, we will be like these beasts in that very day. Their thoughts, or our thoughts, would perish. Psalm 103. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth, starting at verse 14, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. We don't think too much of dying grass out in the field. We may not even give it, unless you're a landscaper or something, you may not even give it a second thought. But just as that grass turneth brown, falls off and withereth, and is blown by the wind, so is man that understandeth not and is not in honor. Next chapter, Psalm 104. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust. In Psalm 146, verses 3 and 4. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to the earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish. David was well aware that man had a condition, inherited condition, and that we were always subject to death. And only one way that we can get out of that condition, and that's by covenant. The third truth that we see depicted in the Psalms is the aspects of the Messiah. Let's go to Psalm 22. We know from the beginning of Scripture, back in Genesis, a Savior or Messiah was promised from the very beginning. And there are many aspects of above what we were going to read today that describe all of these various aspects of the truth. But there are many messianic psalms that David and thoughts that David has written in this, which depict the coming Messiah. We're going to read the first 22 verses of this chapter. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted and didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am no worm, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All that see me laugh me to scorn and shoot out the lip. They shake my head, saying, he trusted on Yahweh that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb, that didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me unto the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Be now thou far from me, O Yahweh. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. We see many aspects of the crucifixion in this psalm. How much David knew of what he was writing here that would apply to the Messiah, I can't answer. But we know David was a man after God's own heart. And these things, even though we might see a few things apply to him, we can apply these directly and see the quotations in the New Testament applying to Christ. Psalm 40. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Psalm 72. First two verses. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and the righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness unto all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Verse 26 and 29. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation, and I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever in his throne as the days of heaven. Verse 36, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. Psalm 80. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man who thou madest strong for thyself. And lastly, in Psalm 2, our reading, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. In verse 4, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. The coming Messiah of time when David, through his lineage, would be promised that a seed would come, the seed that was spoken of from the very beginning. The fourth and last truth that is depicted by David in the Psalms is one he speaks of much. That is of hope and redemption and inheritance. Start in Psalm 16, verses 8 to 11. I have set Yahweh always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. David, in these words, utters a prayer of hope, a prayer of the future, a prayer for resurrection. Psalm 17. In verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. David fully understood the aspect of resurrection and consubstantiality with deity. Psalm 25. In verse 12 and 13, what man is he that feareth Yahweh? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Psalm 49. Verses 12 to 15. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not, he is like the beast that perish. We already read some of this. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approveth their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwellings. But he changes his thought here. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Words of hope. Let's go back to Psalm 46, starting at verse 7. The Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Yahweh Sabaoth is with us. The Lord of God, God of Jacob, is our refuge. Psalm 66, first four verses. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in the works, though through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. In the next chapter, 67. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, the saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Psalm 132, starting at verse 11. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If the children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children also shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For Yahweh hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, we read these words, starting at verse 8. Now therefore, so thou shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness affect them any more as before time. And as since that day that I command judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused them to rest from all thine enemies, also Yahweh telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. David would have never forgotten these words. They were words of comfort and words of prophecy and words of hope. In Psalm 72, we've read the first couple verses. But if we continue on, we will read other thoughts here contained in this aspect of hope. Now I'm just going to read some of the phrases in some of the scriptures. I'm not going to read the rest of the chapters. The mountains shall bring peace to the people. He shall judge the poor, save the children, break in pieces the oppressor. He shall come down like rain. In his days shall the righteous flourish in abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall deliver the needy when he crieth. He shall redeem their souls from deceit and violence. His name shall endure forever. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall be blessed. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Back in 2 Samuel 23, we read that these were the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who hath raised up on high the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he maketh not to grow. This is what drove David. David was a man of truth. He understood the aspects of God's truth and faithfulness. And so he is mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews as one of the faithful. What shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. And that's a statement. Weakness being made strong, we can see, applies to David's life, because I don't think he ever forgot in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, all heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and hath prepared for them a city. Just before his death, David offered up a prayer to Yahweh in 2 Samuel 22. And we will close with that. This psalm of thanksgiving, as it is titled in the scripture, embodies many aspects of the truth. And David spake unto Yahweh the Lord words of this song in the day that the Lord hath delivered him out of the hand of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. He cried unto my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of heaven moved and shook, because he was wroth. Then went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub, and did fly, and was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. Foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of Yahweh and the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but Yahweh was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of Yahweh, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and I have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Yahweh hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness in his eyes' sight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, with the forward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people wilt thou save, and thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, Yahweh, and the Yahweh will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect, and the word of Yahweh is tried. He is a buckler to them that trust in him. And who is God save Yahweh? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon high places. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and the gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I consumed them, and wounded them, that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, and there was none to save, even Yahweh, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen, a people which I knew not to serve shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of the closed places. Yahweh liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people unto me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies, that also has lifted me upon the high above them that rose up upon against me, and thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Yahweh, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is a tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed evermore.
Thank you, Brother Bill. The exhortation that we get from a study of the Psalms is never ending. As you have said, there's so many different aspects in the study of it that we get reassurance of the hope that is found within our hope. And particularly, as you have brought us to this part of our service, the things that deal specifically with His Anointed One. Thank you very much for what you had to say. Let's open our memorial service. We'll do so by singing hymn number 148. Psalm of glory, raiment bright, crown that never fade away, gird and deck the saints in light, priests and king and conquerors they. 148. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. As we said, Brother Bill has very rightfully so brought us to this portion of our service where we will remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the memorial service. And as is our custom, a few remarks to help focus on some aspect of His death and His sacrifice. This morning, we would like to look at one of the Psalms that Brother Bill did not read for us, which I find to be very insightful into the anguish, the trouble that our Savior was to go through, and a prophecy for him to read at a very young age to know of what lay in store for him in relation to the flesh. And if you look at Psalm 69, very little needs to be said in connection with this to help us think about what our Master has had to go through to get to the position that he is today. The first four verses, we see that water, and also throughout this chapter, that water is used. And we see in water the idea of trouble and strife and turmoil that was to, like water, overflood and overwhelm at times our Savior in His natural life. Save me, O God, for the waters are come upon my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. We are reminded of Hebrews 5, verse 7, where we are told that in the days of our Lord's trials and tribulations, He gave many prayers with strong crying and tears. For it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and strong supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard and that he feared. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. In these verses, our Master would have understood that he would be overwhelmed by those that opposed him. And the accusations that were made and levied against him would be false. He would be innocent of personal transgression. And he would be wrongly accused as being the means of restoration for man and to God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 tells us, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, and that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Peter in 1 Peter 3, verse 18 says, for Christ who hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee. Let not them that wait on Thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek Thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for Thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. It is very clear that Jesus, while reading these verses, would have understood his Father's mission well before he made the step in baptism and commitment to that way by his full and understanding, reasoning as he studied from these scriptures. He would have understood the Father's mission and the effects that it would have and result in him, which would be shame and reproach by his fellow man. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. We need to say nothing about that, for we know that was true. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Even though he was a stranger to his own literal brethren and his nation forsook him, yet his fervor was always in connection with the glory of God. For the zeal of the house of thy house hath eaten me up, as the New Testament tells us how that was fulfilled. Verse 10, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment and became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was a song to the drunkard. Might reference Job chapter 30, verse 8 and 9 in relation to that, how that they mocked him and he was the proverb of the drunkard in their song. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Hear me in the truth of thy salvation. We see in this verse Jesus' own name encrypted in the Hebrew, that the thy there would be Yahweh. Hear me in the truth of Yahweh's salvation, Yahshua. Deliver me out, and in the next few verses here particularly, we see related to the suffering in relation to Gethsemane. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercy, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. And his enemy was truly the nature which he bore and was very well manifested throughout his kinsmen. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries all are all before thee. Reproaches have broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, and there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. And we looked at this verse in our Sunday school class this morning, where Jesus told his apostles that there was going to be a time when they would all be scattered. He says, the hour cometh, yea, and now come, and now is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own. They left him and shall leave me alone. Jesus told him that. And how did he know that? It was prophesied as to his abandonment in his most and dearest hour of need by mankind. Yet Jesus knows, yet am I not alone, because the Father is with me. They gave me also gall for my meat, and my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. We're very familiar with that fulfillment of that horrible incident. The next several verses have to do with the what was in store for those that put God's Messiah, God's remedy for the sin of Adam, those that put that and trotted that underfoot, what was in store for the nation of Israel? Let their table become a snare before them, that they should have been for and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eye be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out their indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold on them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity. Let them not come unto thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. And then we conclude with this prayer of Jesus, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation again, his name encrypted in the Hebrew, Yahweh is salvation. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. And there is no doubt that he is elevated to a high position, even at this point. I will praise thy name, O God, with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please him, shall please the Lord better than oxen or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. Christ's superior sacrifice of himself is so much better than the most mature and valuable sacrifice that any could possibly offer before the Lord. And as a result of that, it is pleasing and acceptable, and Jesus has been raised up. Let the heaven and the earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. We are reminded of where Paul wrote to the Philippians, where he talks about this elevation of our Savior, who we remember at this time, and the prospect of what he is to reestablish in so greater amount than what was in the first time when God's kingdom was on this earth. But the prospect of that, where he tells in Philippians chapter 2, 9, which is a memory verse, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. He has highly exalted Jesus Christ and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow, of things that are in heaven, things that are in earth, things that are under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God and Father. To say that he has been lifted up into high places doesn't give it the justice that it is due. And he also, Paul to the Ephesians, tells us that Christ has been lifted up above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and that every name that is named, even in this world and the worlds to come, are not to be compared with him. For God will save, and this is certainly the hope of Israel, what has been brought to pass by the sacrifice of this man that we remember, that we have associated to through our baptism in his death, burial, and resurrection, the hope of Israel that will be restored. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell therein and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. This indeed is our hope and our thanks to our Heavenly Father that we have such a great opportunity. Let's turn to the account that's written for us in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 26, our Lord left the institution. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Let's also follow this and stand and offer thanksgiving for the bread. Brother Lou Locklear, would you lead us, please? And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." We will also give thanksgiving for the wine. Brother Sid, would you lead us in prayer? Let us conclude our service this morning, and let's be reminded that we just were asked to remain just for a few minutes after meeting for some information. After the closing of hymn number 240, we ask Brother Dave Perloff to lead us in a closing prayer, please. "Most glorious things are spoken, Jerusalem, of thee, to all God's saints the token of love and liberty. Who shall thy hill ascending, from pain and sorrow free, from sin and death contending, the living glory be?" Hymn 240.